text number 40. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Samhita, I'll try that. Kricho maham iha bhavarnavam aplavesham. Shadvarga natram asukhina titirshanti. Tatvam harir bhagavato bhajaniyam angrim. Sana Uttara Dustaragnam. Kritshva Mahan Iha Bhavarnavam Aplavesham. Shadvarga Natram Asukhena Titir Shanti. Tatvam harir bhagavato bhajaniyam angrim. Kritvo dukham vyasanam uttara dustararnam. Vaishnavis,
Thank you.
Translation word by word. Krishna, troublesome. Maham, very great. Iha, here, in this life. Bhava Arnabam, ocean of material existence. Aplava Ishan, of the non-devotees who have not taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shat Bharga, six senses. Nakram, sharks. Asukena, with great difficulty. Titir Shanti, cross over. Tat, therefore. Tom, you. Are, of this, of the personality of Godhead. Bhagavataha, of the Supreme. Bhajaniyam, worthy of worship. Angrim, the lotus feet. Kritva, making. Udupam, both. Vyasanam, all kinds of dangers. Uttara, cross over. Dustara, very difficult. Arnam, the ocean. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. The ocean of the signs is very difficult to cross because it is infested with many dangerous sharks. Although those who are non-devotees undergo severe austerities and penances to cross that ocean, we recommend that you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats for crossing the ocean. Although the ocean is difficult to cross, by taking shelter of his lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Material existence is compared here to the great ocean of the science. Another name of this ocean is Vaitarani. In that Vaitarani ocean, which is the causal ocean, there are innumerable universes floating like footballs. On the other side of the ocean is the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, which is described in Bhagavad Gita 8:20 as parastasmattu bhavam nyaha. Thus, there is an ever-existing spiritual nature which is beyond this material nature. Even though all the material universes are annihilated again and again in the causal ocean, the Vaikuntha planets, which are spiritual, exist eternally and are not subject to dissolution. The human form of life gives the living entity a chance to cross the ocean of the science, which is this material universe, and enter into the spiritual sky. Although there are many methods or boats by which one can cross the ocean, the Kumaras recommend that the king take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, just as one would take shelter of a good boat. Non-devotees do not take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, try to cross the ocean of the science by other methods, karma, jhana, and yoga, but they have a great deal of trouble. Indeed, sometimes they become so busy simply enjoying the troubles that they never cross the ocean. There is no guarantee that the non-devotees will cross the ocean. But even though they manage to cross, they have to undergo severe austerities and penances. On the other hand, anyone who takes the process of devotional service and has faith that the lotus feet of the Lord are safe boats to cross that ocean is certain to cross very easily and comfortably. Prithu Maharaj is therefore advised to take the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord to easily cross over all dangers. Dangerous elements in the universe are compared to sharks in the ocean. Even though one may be a very expert swimmer, he cannot possibly survive if he is attacked by sharks. One often sees that many so-called swamis and yogis sometimes advertise themselves as competent to cross the ocean on their science and to help others cross. But in actuality, they are found to be simply victims of their own senses. Instead of helping their followers to cross the ocean of the science, such swamis and yogis fall prey to Maya, represented by the fair sex, woman, and are thus devoured by the sharks in that ocean. Madhyan Vimanda Sadhanjana Salapaya Chakshara Murita Vena Tasai Shri Gurudeva. Om Vishupadaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Shrava Bhakti Vedanta Swami Pinamaya Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pachamine. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Hatmanja Pampadhi Vishati Vasindhya Shakti Vipadhyam Vishnu Kamamo. Translation again, if you'd like to repeat. The ocean of the signs is very difficult to cross because it is infested with many dangerous sharks. Although those who are non-devotees undergo severe austerities and penances to cross the ocean, we recommend that you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats for crossing the ocean. Although the ocean is difficult to cross, by taking shelter of his lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. This image of the material existence as an ocean is found in other places of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also this idea of the lotus feet of the Lord as places of shelter are boats that can help us cross the ocean. In the 10th canto, there is that famous verse, Samashita e padapallava plavam mahatpadam punyayashu murare Bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yat vipadam natesham. It's the same concept. This ocean, it's insurmountable, very treacherous, very vast, but when one takes shelter, full shelter, samashrita, not casual shelter, but full shelter, complete shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, that ocean, which is so big and insurmountable, becomes of the same size of the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. Anybody can cross very easily over a little hoof print of a calf, even if there is a little water, even a child can cross over that. So similarly, there is this special effect that when one is taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, the ocean basically disappears. The Lord and his feet are beyond time and space, are beyond matter. So when one is at the lotus feet of the Lord and he maintains that position, one also becomes beyond time and space. The Lord is simultaneously in this world and in the spiritual world. Goloka eva nivasati akhilatman bhuto, the Brahma Samhita teaches us. So when you take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, you are automatically where is Krishna. Krishna is in Goloka Vrindavan. So that's the safest position. Srila Prabhupada also explains that the devotees of the Lord are compared to the lotus feet of the Lord. In the first canto, Srila Prabhupada says that the devotees of the Lord sometimes are called Prabhupada or Vishnupada because they represent that shelter. Sometimes the spiritual master is called the Ashraya Vigraha, like the deity, the Archa Vigraha, and the spiritual master is the Ashraya Vigraha, is the form in which one can take shelter, can take instruction, can take refuge, can submit, surrender. So Vishnu Pada, Namo Vishnu Padaya, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu, Prabhu, Vibhu, Prabhu, the Lord, Prabhupada, the one who represents the Lord, feet. So it's the same effect. One takes shelter in the Prabhupada or in the Vishnupada, and it's the same effect of crossing the ocean. And this crossing of the ocean, even in this world, which is only a very small fragment of the totality of matter, it's somehow a very traditionally a very dangerous enterprise. Throughout the history of humanity, throughout recorded history, there are many attempts of different civilizations and individuals to somehow conquer the ocean. And we are talking about mainly the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. Indian Ocean is also there, but the Indian Ocean, first of all, is a little smaller, and it's never really open. No, the Indian Ocean goes from Australia to Southeast Asia to India to the Middle East and to Africa. So it's not generally as treacherous as the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean. But throughout history we have seen many attempts of crossing the oceans, and many of them are not successful. Many people died trying to cross the ocean. In the 20th century, there are two or three historical events that really captured the people's imagination. One happened in 1927 when Charles Lindbergh, an American, but of Viking descent, he was the first one to fly an airplane from New York to Paris. And at that time, nobody has ever done. There was no route. Now there are so many commercial routes. You can choose so many airlines to fly over the Atlantic. But at that time, there was no regular service. There was only boat service, which would take a lot of time. So Charles Lindbergh became overnight a great celebrity because he was the first to cross the ocean. He did a flight by himself. It took 33 hours at the time. Now it takes 5-6 hours. At the time it took 33 hours. It was a small aircraft. And people were so enamored or so inspired by this feat that it is said that when he landed in Paris, people brought him in triumph, and for half an hour, a full half an hour, he could not touch the ground. So enthusiastic were the people by this great feat. Another famous example of attempted crossing the ocean came 20 years later, 1947. There was an ethnologist, an archaeologist, an explorer. His name was Thor Heyerdahl. He was from Norway. And he wanted to get this theory. It's a theory which is not accepted nowadays, but he had this theory that Polynesia, the Pacific islands of Polynesia, were originally colonized by inhabitants from South America. So what they did, they went to Peru and they built a boat, a raft, with the same technology that people would have 1,000 or 2,000 years ago, just using reeds, basically a boat made of grass. And he sailed on this boat and he got all the way to Polynesia. He got all the way to Polynesia safely. So he kind of demonstrated, he didn't demonstrate his theory, but he demonstrated that they could have done it. Then in 1970, the same person, Thor Heyerdahl, he wanted to demonstrate that the Egyptians could have gone to America. So he built another raft from papyrus, these reeds that on the Nile, and he crossed the whole ocean actually on that boat. It was called the Ra Tu, Ra, the name of the sun god in Egyptian. So he crossed all the way from South America to the Caribbean, to the Barbados, like that. And so this also became a very big event. He's still very famous. Now he died, also Charles Lindbergh died. But this is just two examples to show that this idea of crossing the ocean is very much been traditionally in the aspirations of people. And of course, we understand, crossing the material ocean doesn't solve the problems of life. It may give fame, may give wealth, but it doesn't solve the problems of the cycle of birth and death. It is said that the Indians, somebody has a theory that Indians, seafarers, sailors, went from India all the way to Mexico. There are some archaeologists that say that many of the aspects of the Mesoamerican civilizations, like the Maya, the Aztecs, come actually from India, because they found similarity in certain games they were playing, and certain deities they were worshipping, and certain what they call mythological traditions that they share. So we don't actually even know the history of all the crossings of the ocean. But here, the Bhagavatam is giving us the final solution. And in one sense, it's the most difficult, because we are here in this world to experience this world independently. So the surrendering to the lotus feet of the Lord, in one sense, is the simplest, in one sense, is the hardest. It's the simplest, technically, as a method, because one simply has to accept the protection of the Lord and the direction of the Lord and work on developing one's love for Him. But on the level of ego is the most difficult, because the whole experience of the material world is an attempt of not surrendering to the Lord. So when we are presented with this opportunity, often we may want to resist. Maybe we want to hesitate. Maybe we want to reject. And this also brings us to the point that this ocean is largely an internal ocean. It's an internal ocean of accumulated desires, of impressions, samskaras, which are there, buried in the stratifications of the mind. We have accumulated many, 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 many impressions and experiences, and some of them were pleasurable. So the samskaras generate vasanas, desires, they generate a set of items we want and a set of items we don't want. These are the waves of the ocean, radha, dvesha, icha, dvesha, attraction and repulsion. These are the waves of the ocean, and largely these are internal waves. Outside, everything is fine. Outside, things are as they should be, because they are under the control of the Lord, they are under the control of the agents of the Lord. So there's nothing really to cross out there. It's not a geographical issue. Mainly, this ocean is inside, and it's insurmountable because it's fed by the eternal nature of the soul. Soul is eternal, so until the soul changes its desire and directions, the ocean keeps being fed by more desires and more ambitions and hopes, asha, no, but more aspirations in this world. And because the soul is eternal, its aspirations, until they are purified, they are also eternal. So this inner ocean is crossed by the inner process of surrendering to the Lord. And these sharks, like for instance here, Srila Prabhupada ends the purport by saying that there are many sharks in this ocean, especially swamis and yogis, fall prey to Maya, represented by a fair sex woman, and thus devoured by the sharks in that ocean. Obviously, that's a relative statement. We are not trained to see women or men, if you happen to be in the body of a woman, as sharks. Of course, there is some danger, but again, the danger is mainly internal. It's the karma, it's the desire to enjoy. For a little baby, his mother is not a shark. For a little baby, mother is the protection, is life, is nourishment, is direction, is instruction, is everything actually. For a little baby, the mother is everything. And we all have been babies, and we all have mothers. We don't see our mother, hopefully, as a shark. Because generally we don't have that type of mood. But of course the object of the senses becomes a shark when we try to dominate, enjoy, possess, like that. So these are a few considerations on this verse. Any questions or comments? So, there are no questions, we can stop here. Jamal Sekhu wants to say something.
Tenth Canto, it's the second chapter, 31st verse, there's another analogy of crossing the ocean nations. It goes, I'll paraphrase it, just before the famous gay name Ravindaksha Bhimani Nats verse. And it describes how the great acharyas developed deep love for Lord Krishna. And on the basis of this love, they discovered the means to cross the great ocean of nations. And they leave these means behind for other devotees to cross. And the Lord accepts these means. And then in the purport, Prabhupada describes, because of the relationship, and he describes a transcendental teamwork between the Lord and the devotees. And then Prabhupada itemizes his core instructions.
What?
Then Prabhupada itemizes his core instructions. As you know, also within the purport, it describes how every acharya, according to time, place, circumstances, and the candidate, gives this means for crossing the ocean of material nations. Prabhupada describes chanting 16 rounds, attending the morning program, regularly reading his books, and dedicating one's life to pushing the movement up. So, the lotus feet of the Lord is a boat, but also the core instructions of the acharya, because you parallel these two, you know, kind of make the point that they're synonymous. The Guru Ashraya. How'd you put it?
Ashraya Vigraha.
Ashraya Vigraha. That's the taking shelter form of the Lord. So that comes apparently, you know, from this really powerful verse of purport, 10.2.31, in the form of these four instructions. And you know, Devanacharya is like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He made his adjustments according to time, place, and circumstance. And same thing with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The Prabhupada had these core instructions, and they're just so powerful. And if one follows them, then his success at crossing the ocean of nations is guaranteed.
Thank you.
Prabhupada, I would like to ask a question. You know, you were talking about the sharks in the ocean, that they're certainly a danger. So how do we protect ourselves from sharks by crossing the ocean? You know, is there something we can do?
Certainly. How we protect from sharks? I mean, the obvious answer is that you don't enter the waters infested by sharks. It's like prevention is better than cure.
Then you don't cross the ocean.
No, because, again, just see, Prabhuji jumped in and gave the answer. You take the boat. So we do have experience that when you are in a boat, especially a strong boat, you don't even think of what's below in the water. There may be crocodiles, there may be sharks, there may be snakes. I mean, a lot of, and we do all of have experience of using boats, ferry boats or other cruisers. So, first of all, you don't enter the water, generally in places like Australia and other places where there are sharks, there are notices. The government put up some notice. Shark infested, don't enter the water. Jai Shri Siddhartha Madhava, Ashtu Shakti Vinayaki, Paramahamaki, so, a person who is prudent, a person who is cautious, a person who is wise, will avoid. So similarly, the Vedas, Vedic literature, or even actually all the revealed scriptures of the world gives us some rules and regulation how not to endanger ourselves. Like for instance, Srila Prabhupada brings up the risk of involvement in illicit connection with the opposite sex. There are rules. You know very well there are norms for brahmacharis. There are like 9, I believe, guidelines. Don't think of women, don't speak with women, don't, you know, so many rules. So if one follows those rules, one is largely protected. Again, the karma is not directly in the object, it's just that the object reawakens or stimulates the karma which is in ourself. So, obviously, just like many devotees are cold nowadays because it's very cold, so cold humidity enhances our cold, right? Enhances or increases our mucus, and so we need to stay warm. So similarly, we need to stay away as much as possible from these sharks. And as the Prabhu said, we need to take a boat so that whatever happens in the ocean doesn't really touch us. But as you know, Bhagavatam also says that you can go to the forest, but your mind comes with you. So if there is an internal cultivation of these virtuous sharks, then it's not really the physical situation that can protect us. Because the sharks are already inside us. So we need to enter into a dialogue with the sharks. This is the method also that the acharyas have demonstrated. It's interesting because it's a method taught in the 20th century in certain particular schools of 20th century psychotherapy to enter into dialogue with the mind. But we see our acharyas, they were already doing it hundreds of years before. Like for instance, Raghunath Das Goswami, he wrote the Mana Shiksha. It's a preaching to the mind. It's entering into a dialogue, conscious of the anarthas of the mind, and preaching to the mind. So, look, mind, you want to do this, you want to do that, it's not really good for you. It's not really for your ultimate good, so you should change your mood. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote the book Vaishnava Ke, which is another book in which he talks and preaches to the mind. Vaishnava Ke, what kind of Vaishnava? Tumi Kishina Vaishnava. What kind of Vaishnava are you, mind? So, again, there are both rules. One is external rules, very important. Even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example, though he was so advanced, and he was also advanced in age, when some disciple, lady disciple, wanted to speak with him, he would never accept to speak with a woman alone. So there are, we could say, external or practical, physical guidelines that should be followed, but then of course, alongside, we need to have that negotiation with the internal sharks. And of course, the most powerful is chanting the holy name, bathe the mind again and again, and the Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy name, so that the mind gets purified. These are some considerations. Anything else?
What do we tell people when they see what you call non-devotees who are materialists and don't appear?
Speak more in the mic, like, more in the mic and a little louder.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranams. How do we convince people that non-devotees, some non-devotees don't appear to be facing any sharks? because their life looks very successful, they have a lot of material success. So some people feel they don't have to come into devotional life. When they look at the examples of non-devotees who appear to be very successful, they don't appear to be facing any shock. So how we convince them that devotional life is the way to go, and not to get disillusioned by looking at materialists who appear not to be facing any sharks? Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, there are two things. One is that the sharks are specifically there for those who are trying to cross the ocean. See, these sharks are not there for everybody. It's when you try to cross the ocean that these sharks manifest. Again, the examples we gave before, it's when you try to cross, say, the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean, that you have to take so many precautions. You have to consider, where will I get my food? Where will I get, my water? Normally, we don't think, where will I get my water? Because either is drinking water everywhere, or you know where to buy bottled water, or you know how to filter water, whatever. We don't, it's not a major issue to find water. But when you are crossing an ocean, where to find water, it's a major issue, because you cannot drink the salt water. So different civilizations, different seafaring populations, they have devised different means. Like there are certain fish, this is a non-vegetarian example, there are certain fish that they have water inside. And so when you can drink water from the fish, like that. And so when you are in spiritual life, then these sharks manifest. For somebody in material life, they don't see these things as sharks, they see these things as nectar. They see as they aspire for these things. Like for instance, Jesus Christ said, do not build treasures in this world where there is rust and there are thieves that can steal it. So build treasures in heaven. He also said that it's more difficult for a rich man to go to the kingdom of God. It's more difficult for a rich man to go to the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. So, of course, there's nothing wrong in wealth in itself, but wealth, it's a very dangerous trap, because once you're wealthy, you want to enjoy. It gives you the chance to have the facilities for enjoyment. So, for a materialist, wealth is nectar. But for a spiritualist, it's a potential shark. Srila Prabhupada says in the first canto, we have been in touch since time immemorial with money and women, and therefore women or opposite sex and gender. So we have this attraction, this attachment, therefore are considered very, very, very strong obstacles. So this is the first thing. For somebody who is doing material life, they don't perceive these allurements as sharks, because they're not trying to avoid them. So this is the first consideration. The second consideration is that if somebody is intelligent, you can tell that, look, you may have a good situation here, whatever that is. You may feel comfortable. You may think you are arrived in life. You have everything you need. But if they are intelligent, they can understand whatever they have will disappear. It could be a pleasant family situation. It could be a bank account. It could be vehicles. It could be position in society. But if they are intelligent, they understand that these things cannot give shelter. So it depends on your interlocutors, depends on the audience, how much time you have, how intelligent they are. But nowadays, there are very few people who are actually happy in material life. Most people are either depressed or compressed or stressed out. So it's not so hard generally for people to understand that this material world life is full of suffering. Okay. Yes, Vasudeva Prabhu.
I was wondering if there is not a necessity at some point to confront sharks. For example, the shark of wealth. You can avoid it, but the desire for wealth may be there. And it says that unless you're able to be wealthy, deal with it, that how would you get rid of the desire for wealth? If you cannot confront that shark, can you ignore it and go beyond, cross beyond the ocean?
Yes, the answer is that the process is not to confront the shark. The process is to avoid the sharks, and while avoiding the sharks, building a higher taste. See, confronting the sharks, now there may be different sharks, well, it's not the rule, certainly it's not the rule that every devotee has to become rich and very wealthy, millionaire, billionaire, and has to control the desire and use the money for Krishna. It's not a rule. It's not the method that Rupa Goswami gave us. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. The method that Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that Vishya Nivartante Nirahara Siddhihina Rasa Vajamra Supyasya Paradrishva Nivartate. Krishna says there may be attachment to Vishaya, object of the senses could be wealth, women, whatever shark you may be talking about. But the method is to get a higher taste, paramdrishta. So although in the face of detachment there is still attraction, the method is not to confront in the sense that like challenging the object of the senses. That's Gandhi's speculation. You know, Gandhi, he was practicing brahmacharya, and he was pretty successful. He developed a lot of power through his brahmacharya. But he tested his brahmacharya. He was, even as an old man, he was sleeping sometimes between two young women to test his brahmacharyas. But it's basically simple. It's perverted. It's a perverted idea of confronting the object of the senses. No acharya will ever, what do you call, support such a thing. It's just a speculation. First of all, because you endanger others. You follow? I can't test the brahmacharya endangering others. Second, it's not the method. It's not the method. So, I would say that no, there's no need to confront the sharks. You need just to avoid as much as possible according to your ashrama, and work on your building your attachment for Krishna, and then when your love for Krishna raises in your heart, all these sharks become like little fishes that don't have any attraction anymore. So, thank you very much for your attention. Grataraj Shiva Bhagavati Jai Shiva Prabhupada Ki.